from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it's not a credibility gap, it's some kind of deep crevice. Dateline, July 9th, Washington. U.S. and Iraqi forces have, quote, mostly eliminated, unquote, the ability of insurgents to conduct sustained high-intensity attacks in Baghdad. That's according to Major General William Webster, the top U.S. commander in Baghdad, in a video teleconference interview with reporters at the Pentagon, commenting on the end of offensive operations by U.S. and Iraqi troops in recent weeks. That's July 9th. Dateline, July 16th. A suicide car bombing Friday night near the official residence of the president of Iraq in Baghdad capped a day of bombings and explosions across the capital, in which at least 29 people were killed, including police and security guards. At least 7 of the attacks were suicide bombings. The wave of violence was stretched from morning until after dark, came in sharp contrast to the relative lull that followed the 6-week military offensive by U.S. and Iraqi troops. So, Major General William G. Webster, Jr., U.S. and Iraqi forces have mostly eliminated the ability of insurgents to conduct sustained high-intensity attacks in Baghdad. That lasted 1 week. If they keep this up, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start withdrawing our credulity. You don't want that. Hello, welcome to the show.
I will take my chances. Just anything can evil in the stock and gold, got some medieval zoom zoom, take you to the room in the rain. Such a shame that she saw me on the bright side, where I hide like the dream of an actor in the night. What a night, but I couldn't find the rhyme, couldn't take the time, couldn't say the line that I knew so well. She was a big and Brenda, she can bend a big banana, she can talk a daddy loose in the park. In the dark was a tape made lady, she can dig with Digliani, she whoopee cats who out of the frame. What a name, but she got you with a snapshot, clap trap, put you on your back if you don't want to jump.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show, and that's the wrong. We're just having so much fun with these CD machines these days. This is what we're going to do now. Yes, that's what we're going to do. They were off last week because apparently the paper didn't make enough mistakes. But they're back, big and proud and tall, strong and loud. A Thursday column by Margaret Carlson said Time magazine cited concerns for its shareholders when it turned over reporter Matthew Cooper's notes to the special prosecutor in the Valerie Plame case. It did not cite such concerns. An article in the June 28th California section about an animal rights group's effort to get the Aquarium of the Pacific to remove fish from its menu referred to Jerry Schabel, the aquarium's chairman and chief executive, as she instead of he. An article in Tuesday's Outdoors section about former Secretary of the Interior Stuart Udall said the Wilderness Act protects more than 400 million acres. The act protects more than 100 million acres. An article in Tuesday's Outdoor section on the Los Angeles Basin, as it was 14,000 years ago, described castor bean and black mustard plants as common flora at that time. In fact, both were introduced more recently. An article in Monday's sports section said Dodger pitcher Odalis Perez angered teammates last season when he criticized them for lack of run support. In fact, he did that in 2003. The obituary of Bertram F. Given in Friday's California section said his memorial service would be at 2 p.m. August 2nd. The service will be at 10 a.m. that day. Hope that didn't inconvenience your planning. A review of the TV series Rockstar in Excess in Monday's calendar section paraphrased a quote about the road of excess and attributed the original to Friedrich Nietzsche. The line, in fact, was written by William Blake. A review of the HBO documentary Mantle in Wednesday's calendar section referred to a time when retired baseball star Mickey Mantle was undergoing a kidney transplant and fighting cancer. In fact, he'd had a liver transplant. They're right next to each other. Why would you... The Angel Report in Saturday's sports section said third baseman Dallas McPherson was charged with an error on the play in which McPherson injured his hip. McPherson, in fact, was not charged with an error on the play. In the Critics Notebook by Times pop music critic Robert Hilburn that ran on July 3, the term ultra-conservative was added by a copy editor to describe Fox News commentator Bill O'Reilly. Hilburn, before interviewing O'Reilly about the social activism of U2's Bono, had told the commentator he would not label him in a subjective way. The adjective that was inserted did not reflect that agreement on the critic's views. An article in Tuesday's calendar section about niche market DVDs described one of the extras on Paul McCartney at Red Square as a feature on events in the former Soviet Union when Wings was in its prime. In fact, the extra is about when the Beatles were in their prime. He was in both bands. Why wouldn't you? You know, that's such a natural. An item in Tuesday's sports section said Margot Uzsorg had run an 800-yard obstacle course carrying his wife on his back in 59 seconds. The course was, in fact, only about 277 yards long. A map in Saturday's sports section showed Stage 8 of the Tour de France ending at an elevation of 984.2 feet. 0.2! That exact. When, in fact, Stage 8 finished at an elevation of 2,457 feet. An article in the July 3 Sunday calendar about the revival of Purely, P-U-R-L-I-E, Purely. Incorrectly referred to the Broadway musical Bubbling Brown Sugar as Bubblin' Brown Sugar. Get in trouble for that at the Times, I know that. An article in Saturday's California section about 7,500 pounds of fertilizer stolen from a Huntington Beach nursery gave the impression the FBI believed the material contained ammonium nitrate. In fact, the FBI said the fertilizer could not be used to make a bomb, but did not detail its chemical properties. And finally, a Newswire item in Friday's sports section reported that Kaylin Keller won the women's 800-meter freestyle in 8 minutes, 26.35 seconds. In fact, Haley Pearsall won in 8:37.83. Keller was second in 8:43.91. So the winning time originally printed applied to neither the first nor second place. Contested in the race apparently was a made-up time. Or an imagined, let's say an imagined time, a time still to be achieved by one of the competitors sometime in the future. The Los Angeles Dog Trainer Corrections, ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast, back in fine style this week. Proud of all of you downtown. You're doing a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. American drug enforcement officials are, quote, do we have a theme for this, by the way? No, we don't. We're going to. We almost did. News for outside the bubble. We'll have it next week. The technical side of this show is going to be whipped into shape American drug enforcement officials are, quote, disappointed and, quote, deeply concerned, unquote, about the failure of British-led efforts to fight Afghanistan's opium trade. It's the Brits' fault. We've blamed the CIA. Let's blame the Brits. let's blame everybody close to us. Last week's blunt warning from the State Department's Bureau of Narcotics also claimed the international battle against Afghanistan's drug lords was doomed to failure. Really? Oh, unless funding was vastly increased. The Hamid Karzai is going to meet with Tony Blair this week. The Brits are in the middle of a three-year term leading U.S., European, and local forces in the fight to eradicate Afghanistan's drug trade, which resurged after the collapse of the Taliban in 2001. To British officials' embarrassment, the level of opium cultivation during their stint at the helm has reached an all-time high. Republican legislators at a hearing last week branded the situation a disgrace. A State Department spokesman said bad weather and the lack of cooperation from Afghan authorities meant opium destruction rates had dipped this year to just 565 acres. I got that on me. Congress allocating around $1 billion annually to fight the opium trade, that meant a net bill for destruction of around $200,000 per acre, which could result in some very rich Afghanis. But despite that, the spokesperson for the State Department said only more money and more manpower would repeat the relative successes achieved in Latin America. British officials say the war against drugs is in its early stages and that production was always likely to increase until the cows came home. It's the Brits. Blame the Brits, ladies and gentlemen. The last to know, ladies and gentlemen, the last to know, the top policy advisor to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld now says the Bush administration made a mistake by building its case for war against Saddam Hussein mainly on its claim that he possessed weapons of mass destruction. Now, he tells us. What day is mid-July 2005? The last to know. You gotta do your research a little quicker. The comment by Douglas Feith in an interview with an associate with the Associated Press is a rare admission of error about Iraq from a senior administration official. Feith is leaving after 4 years as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. That might explain the sudden looseness of his tongue. Quote, I don't think there's any question that we as an administration, instead of giving proper emphasis to all major elements of the rationale for war, overemphasized the WMD aspect, he said. Continuing, our intelligence community made, apparently, an error as to the stockpiles of weapons it assured President Bush existed in 2003. Thus, that part of the administration's argument for why war was necessary was overdone, he said. Anything we said at all about stockpiles was overemphasis, given that we didn't find them, unquote. Yes, that would be, at a minimum, overemphasis. Would that be about the nicest way to put it? I think so. Overemphasis, because we didn't find them. More news from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, from Middle East Newsline. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't seem like it's run by crazies. I did a little research, just enough to tell you that. The United States has determined that Saudi Arabia, I got to lower my voice, I'm waking up the neighbors, that Saudi Arabia continues to allow citizens of Saudi Arabia to finance, any guesses? Yes, Al-Qaeda. Including the insurgency campaign in Iraq. That's right. The Saudis are helping to finance this mysterious insurgency. U.S. officials say that despite numerous appeals, the Saudi kingdom has not arrested financiers of Al-Qaeda or related groups. They said the kingdom has also failed to freeze the assets of leading Saudi financiers of Islamic insurgency groups. This comes from Treasury Secretary, Undersecretary Stuart Levy. Quote, even today, we believe Saudi donors may still be a significant source of terrorist financing, including for the insurgency in Iraq. This is the first time, unquote, this is the first time a senior Bush administration official blamed the Saudis. Over the last 2 years, the Bush administration has blamed Syria, mainly, for the flow of insurgents and funding into Iraq. That's a natural mistake. They both begin with S. Dateline Baghdad, the Iraqi Defense Ministry has squandered more than $300 million buying faulty and outdated military equipment in what, according to Knight Ridder newspapers, appears to be a massive web of corruption that flourished under American-appointed supervisors for a year or longer. Can we get Paul Bremer in here? Because there's the more the time goes on, the more you think, I don't want J. Paul Bremer running any operation I've got where checks are cut. Back to the story. Vendors are suspected of vastly overcharging for substandard equipment, including helicopters. Well, I can't do anybody any harm. A substandard helicopter, that's just going to machine guns and armored vehicles and kicking back money to Iraqi Defense Ministry buyers. Officials of Iraq's recently elected government have fired the main suspect in the scandal. Several former defense overseers are under investigation for possible criminal charges. The suspected fraud slowed progress in training and equipping Iraqi forces. Lieutenant General David Petraeus, not Betrayus, Petraeus, the senior U.S. officer in charge of training and equipping Iraqi forces, declined to comment on the allegations. It's a matter for the sovereign government of Iraq to resolve, he said. Now, he says. Sorry, it's L. Paul Bremer. His nickname is Jerry. That's how I put a J there. Investors are looking at purchases dating back to the sovereignty transfer. Many Iraqi administrators hired under Bremer's coalition authority kept their jobs after the handover. Other Iraqis familiar with the cases say they mean more fraudulent contracts involving many more millions of dollars. Americans ran the show behind the scenes, said several Iraqi bureaucrats involved with the defense ministry at the time. It's implausible to them that U.S. officials who held daily briefings with Iraqi defense chiefs didn't catch wind of the alleged wrongdoing, said one. Said a U.S. military official familiar with the events. Quote, it seems hard to understand to an outsider that this stuff could go on under our noses and Americans didn't know anything about it. But clearly, we didn't know everything. He said American advisors had warned the government, the Iraqi government, about some suspicious activity, but they weren't aware of the extent of the problem. In his words, quote, when the $300 million figure came out, jaws hit the floor. We had no idea the numbers were that high, unquote. We thought it was, you know, manageable stealing. Why would they throw a movie to the floor anyway? A couple weeks ago, a news story was shared with you that Iran is now had reached a deal to train the Iraqi military, to give the Iraqis some military training. This week, Iran-Iraqi cooperation reached the mainstream media. And so an Iraqi spokesman now says training of troops was not covered under that agreement. But the Iraqi spokesperson did say that the agreement did call for Iran to give $1 billion in reconstruction aid, some of which would go to the defense ministry. But he said the Iraqi army was satisfied with the training provided by the U.S. military. Well, of course. When we don't stop them from stealing, why wouldn't you be satisfied? That's very satisfactory to me, it would seem. Yeah. Man, let us conduct our business in the fine Iraqi way. Ladies and gentlemen, enough from me. You know what I think. No, you don't really. You know what I think is crap. That you know. Let's hear from tomorrow's leadership. Specifically, let's hear from the majority, spokespersons for a majority of tomorrow's leaders, the Women, of course, more than 50% of the population. The young women of our country, clearly tomorrow's leaders. The contestants, the finalists in this year's Miss Mississippi pageant, clearly stepping up to the plate to have their say. Right now.
It is to the shame.
That's another one. That is number two. I guess numbers don't mean anything in the modern world. Here we go. The Miss Mississippi pageant, right here. It's fun, fun, fun.
All right, let's talk. Each contestant will select a word based on a general category, and then we'll have 20 seconds to voice her thoughts on that subject. Contestants, if you hear this sound, your conversation has officially ended. Okay, our first contestant that we're going to talk to is Miss Rankin County, Tara Smith. Oh, of course. Character.
Character is something that is very important. It is always something that you want to try to make very respectable and something that is very outstanding. Our character is something that we can portray to others, and we want people to really see how. Well, I guess that's enough for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Miss Dixieland Kim Blackwell. Your word is wealth.
I think wealth comes in a variety of forms. Most of all, it's realizing your own strengths and weaknesses and realizing that wealth comes when you're happy. And whether that means fighting a battle more than once to win it, and whether that means having everything around you in perspective through perseverance, dedication, hope, and love, it's a compilation of all those things that makes you successful and wealthy within your own peace.
Thank you. Miss West Central Mississippi, Catherine Carter. Catherine, let's talk about charisma.
Charisma is something that hopefully I have right now. I guess we'll see. But it's something that really can appeal to other people and make someone a person that people love to be around and someone wants to strive to emulate and be friends with.
Thank you. Miss Mid-South Angela Allen. Now let's talk about the word is beautiful.
Wow, I think every girl here possesses that word. Each contestant is beautiful in their own way. And the words can't describe how many contestants have been so wonderful this week, and true beauty has shown in each and every one of us.
Thank you. Miss Clinton, Taryn Fauché. Okay, Taryn, let's talk about, freedom.
Freedom is something that is important to me, and I know is important to every one of us. It's why we're able to sit in this room and congregate tonight. It is the essential foundation of our country and something that I am very proud of and very thankful of every single day, that we are able to be free in this country and to worship the way we want to worship and to...
Thank you. Miss Northridge, Jennifer Moss. All right. Hope.
I think that hope is something that we all possess. If we don't possess it, then all we have is despair. Hope is something that takes us through hard times and also brings us joy during the good times. It's something that I hope that every one of you have, and something that everyone should possess.
Thank you. Miss New South, Lacey Cofield. Let's talk now about education.
Education is very, very important. It's something that's very important here in America, and it's something that I encourage everyone to strive to attain. At William Carey College, which is where I'm getting my education right now, it's just wonderful, and I love getting an education, and I would love to see everyone here get a great education, and all the young people of the world as well.
Thank you. Miss University, Jennifer Jernigan. Jennifer, let's talk about fear.
Fear is something that we all have for different reasons, and I have so many fears, but you just try to get over them and try to do what you can to overcome your fears. And I think one of my main fears, it sounds really funny, is I have a phobia of birds, and I am so scared of birds, and that is something that's been hard for me, but I think that we can just overcome them.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah, thank you, ladies. I'm scared of birds. We can overcome it when the signal sounds. Ladies and gentlemen, words are something we all possess, apparently. I have to tell you, in all honesty, I was in close to the most rural part of Mississippi a couple weeks ago. It's not that bad. Blame the pageant. Is that why they're taking it off TV?
Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei não, uma maneira de ver. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei lá, isso é lá com você. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei não, uma maneira de ver. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei lá, isso é lá com você. Será? Do fundo do quintal, quintal do seu olhar, olhar do coração. Bananeira sei lá, bananeira sei não, uma maneira de ter. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei lá, isso é lá com você. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei não, uma maneira de ter. Bananeira não sei, bananeira sei lá, a bananeira sei lá, isso é lá com você. Será do fundo do quintal, quintal do seu olhar, olhar do coração.
Bye. This is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a regular feature of this broadcast. I'm going to cry. It's the Apologies of the Week. Screw the music. Here's the first apology from British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw.
It is to the shame of the international community that this evil took place under our noses, and we did nothing like enough. I bitterly regret this, and I am deeply sorry for it.
He is not talking about Iraq.
We're so sorry.
He's talking about Srebrenica. A decade ago, he was at the memorial service for the victims of the Srebrenica massacre. The Iraq apology will come. Or not. Who knows? But that was British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw apologizing at Srebrenica. Deadline Cairo. The United States administration has lifted a visa ban on an internationally renowned British Muslim scholar and apologized to him for the inconvenience, allowing him to visit this country anytime he wants. That's nice. Republican National Chairman Ken Mellman appeared before the NAACP convention on Thursday. They had invited George Bush. He sent Ken Mellman. Hey, Mellman used to come twice a day, didn't he? And in an unusually personal speech, Mellman apologized for attitudes that had led many Republican politicians to ignore black voters or to, quote, try to benefit politically from racial polarization in years past, unquote. He noted his grandfather, a Baltimore native, was an NAACP member and vowed that his party will do better. On the other side of the political spectrum, liberal columnist Molly Ivins apologizes. In a column written June 28th, she says, I asserted that more Iraqi civilians had been killed in this war than had been killed by Saddam Hussein. Wrong, she writes, really, really wrong. There have been estimates as high as 1 million civilians killed by Saddam, though most agree in the 300,000 to 400,000 range, making my comparison to 20,000 civilian dead in this war pathetically wrong. I was certainly under no illusions regarding Saddam Hussein, whom I've opposed through human rights work for decades. My sincere apologies. It is unforgivable of me not to have checked. I am so sorry. Molly Ivins. Apologies from down under. John Howard, Prime Minister of Australia, has made an official apology to Cornelia Rao and Vivian Alvarez. The two women were wrongfully detained. They are both owed apologies for their treatment, and on behalf of the government, I give those apologies to both of those women who were victims of mistakes by the Immigration Department. Plainly, they were mistakes made. There were failures. There are changes needed. And I was actually on this guy's show when he was introduced to me as the David Letterman of Australia. Disgraced establishment figure Steve Vizard has now offered the Australian public an apology minutes after returning to the country for the first time since admitting to insider trading conduct. In a public performance far removed from his hosting duties as the host of Tonight Live, when he was the David Letterman of Australia, a grim-faced Vizard told reporters at Melbourne Airport that he was deeply, deeply sorry for the conduct that had brought about his stunning fall from grace. I'm acutely conscious of the fact that very many people feel they've been let down, Vizard said. I'm deeply, deeply sorry, and I intend to work actively over the rest of my life to try to set things right. He was involved in insider trading with a telecom company down there. Two deeplies. That's pretty good. That's pretty deep. The board of the Unitarian Universalist Association has apologized for incidents involving apparently disrespectful and racist treatment of youth delegates at the annual meeting in Fort Worth, Texas. In a letter posted on the denomination's website, Board Secretary Paul Richter cited reports that on several occasions during the meeting in June, white delegates assumed that Unitarian Universalist youth of color were hotel service people and asked them to carry their bags and park their cars. Sadly, the letter said, this was not the first General Assembly to have incidents like these. Rapper The Game has apologized to rap star 50 Cent, after breaking their truce to verbally attack him. The pair feuded in the past. Man, these rappers and their feuds. It must depress their record sales, don't you think? But in March, they called a joint press conference to publicly announce a truce. But the game spoke out against 50 Cent while on tour last month, and he's very sorry. He says, quote, "I'm very upset with myself and ashamed to have participated in the things that have been going on, but I'm definitely not the person who started it. I'm ashamed and I'm really apologetic. When I say it with the sincerity of my heart and also with my grandmother, who passed right after I graduated from high school. She was the only person in my life at that time who ever believed I'd be anything. I'm looking forward to a more positive and productive future." Unless sales go down, in which case I'm going to attack 50 Cent again. Dateline Abbeville, South Carolina. A group of white church leaders apologized this week for a lynching that took place nearly a century ago. Hundreds of upstate residents gathered at a church in Abbeville for a reconciliation service where white church leaders apologized to blacks for the lynching of Anthony Crawford. The 51-year-old wealthy black farmer was killed by a mob in 1916 after arguing with a store owner over the price of cotton. Ladies and gentlemen, the price of cotton. The head track coach at Shasta High School in Redding, California, is in hot water for referring to a black student as Kunta Kinte. Coach Bruce Mackinson made the comment during track practice about freshman student Greg Drumgool. Mackinson said he understood it was the wrong choice of words and has apologized to Drumgool. It's also a very dated reference, man. Here's another in the series of morning radio DJ apologies. Two St. Louis DJs from KATZ have been suspended after making inappropriate comments about police officers on the air. The pair discussed with callers how to injure officers and how to take away their radios so they couldn't call for help. Hey, that's good radio. The comments by Chaos and Silly Az, that's the names of the two morning hosts, Chaos and Silly Az, don't you know? Spurred angry posts on the internet message boards. "I want to extend my sincere apologies for the comments made on the Chaos Morning Show," said General Manager Lee Clear. "The comments were entirely inappropriate, and we have reprimanded and suspended the announcers." That's not enough for the cops. Deerfield Beach, Florida. City officials apologized for playing a song during 4th of July celebrations that was mixed with voiceovers of 9/11 calls from the September 11th terrorist attacks during the playing of God Bless the USA. One of the voices on the mix said, "Oh my God, another plane has just hit." People at the celebration said the mood of the night changed when the song was played. "Everybody was in a really good mood, and all of a sudden this cloud of doom," said one. Deerfield Beach's director of parks and recreation, Vince Kendrick, took responsibility on behalf of city officials in a written apology. "We sincerely regret having offended attendees of a 4th of July celebration." He did not name the employee who put the song in the lineup. He added, "If it was Memorial Day, no one would have minded." It's a good point. And if it had been Christmas, former British Transport Secretary Stephen Byers apologized for misleading the Parliament about when his department began talks on changing the ownership of the rail system. Apologizing for lying to the legislature? Get real. Get American. Dateline Austin, Texas. Governor Rick Perry has apologized for inviting a messianic Jewish leader to represent the Jewish faith at a bill signing last month. He delivered a benediction in the name of Jesus, did this Jewish representative. He's the leader of a congregation which believes Jesus was the Messiah. Spokesman for the governor said the governor's office did not know Stone was a messianic Jew until after the prayer. Perry met with members of the Jewish community to apologize. Jewish officials who met with him appreciated the apology. That's very nice. It's very nice on both of our parts. Trenton, New Jersey. New Jersey Congressman Frank Lobiondo has apologized for suggesting on a radio talk show that detainees at Guantanamo Bay were worse than Hitler because the Nazi dictator sort of had a political rationale about what he was doing. Lobiondo told the press that the comparison was a bad one. "I was trying to make a point about a terrible group. If I had a string, I would have taken it back immediately. I was wrong. I should not have used that. I apologize." Detroit firefighters, six fire companies at Engine 5, were on standby for the All-Star Game and had strict orders not to respond, baseball All-Star Game this week, and had strict orders not to respond to anything unrelated to those festivities. That meant they couldn't assist and respond to a fast-moving fire less than a mile away. At least 6 families lost their homes. Verdeen Pierce, vice president of the Detroit Firefighters Association, apologized to city residents for the mishap. A Los Angeles photographer claims actor Ashton Kutcher attacked him, then apologized after he caught the shutterbug outside his Hollywood Hills home. That's as much time as I can give to Ashton Kutcher on this broadcast. The president of Barcelona? Is there such a thing? Yeah. Has apologized after he stripped to his underpants during an argument with security staff at the city's airport. That's all I can give to the president of Barcelona. And those, ladies and gentlemen, would be the apology of the week. A copyrighted feature of this broadcast. You are aware, I am sure, that the story using up most of the oxygen in the New York-Washington corridor this week is the story, the revived story of the leak of the name of Valerie Plame and her status as a CIA agent, undercover, under some cover, under no cover, some undercover, to Judith Miller, Matt Cooper, and Robert Novak. Judith Miller is in jail. She's the New York Times reporter who would not give up her source. This week we learned Karl Rove was the source for Matt Cooper and Robert Novak. Later in the week, he turned out to be a confirming source rather than the initial source for Novak. Nobody knows who Judy Miller's source is. Matt Cooper, from Time magazine, after Time gave up all his email and notes, did testify before the grand jury this week, did say Karl Rove was one of his sources. Rove, his lawyer, shared with us later this week, said that he'd learned of Valerie Plame's identity from other journalists. The debate was basically centered on Rove, he being, as George W. Bush called him, the architect. But there are others being named and questioned by the special prosecutor in this case. One of them, the chief of staff for the vice president of the United States, Louis Scooter Libby. Nobody has said that Libby is his source, although Libby did give permission for reporters to talk about any conversations that they'd had with him. But we don't know. Matt Cooper said on Meet the Press that he had other sources than Karl Rove, but didn't say who they were. I think to get to the bottom of this, we might have to go underground.
Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president, the action-packed diary of a man who's less than a heartbeat away from history.
Dick Cheney. Confidential.
Confidential. Confidential. Confidential.
Say what you will about so-called global warming. At least we don't have to worry about snowfall in the summertime anymore. Given the quantity of unpalatable political vittles in the presidential and vice presidential plates these days, that might be the only reason to celebrate the fact that I passed my latest physical with, if not flying, at least walking colors. Lynn was spending the week at a seminar on ministering to your alternative lifestyle daughter, which left me rattling around the secure undisclosed location like a hooded detainee in a double-wide cell. After the London bombings, my constituent in chief was back in war on terror regalia pretty much full-time, which left it up to me to handle this week's pseudo-scandal du jour. Nothing gets the Washington Press Corps more excited than seeing one of their exalted number hauled off to the federal pokey. So with Judith Miller behind bars, unable any longer to play her useful role as a conduit for proprietary information to some of the town's less seedy players, I had to go back to sending certain messages the old-fashioned way. And I don't mean Pony Express. Informed chatter had it that my assistant, Scooter, was now in the special prosecutor's crosshairs. And even from down here, you could start to hear some wobbling sounds emanating from Scooter's knees. The knee's been a preponderant area of my non-medical expertise, strengthening of, cutting off at, various modalities of knee work. So I had a little get-together with Scooter in the secure undisclosed den. Friday, 11:17 a.m.
They've done a nice job in here.
Yeah, Lynn doesn't care for the regulation navy drapes, but aside from that...
No, it's gloomy, but it's not too gloomy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Optimal gloom. So, how are things looking on the Iran account?
A little frustrating. Might be helpful if one of those frigging London bombers came from Iran instead of Pakistan.
And Jamaica, let's be fair.
Last time I looked, sir, we had no interest in attacking Jamaica.
None that we're authorized to acknowledge knowing about, that's correct.
Well, the point is, anything that moves the locus of publicly perceived hostile intention from Iran to Pakistan is counterproductive to my enterprise.
Counterproductive is not good.
No.
Almost worse in a way than non-productive.
Mr. Vice President, when you start getting this opaque, something's up.
Oh, nothing really, Scooter. Just wanted to touch base with you before things got any more challenging from your particular perspective.
Well, actually, sir, things are looking pretty good. We've got the right to bear arms pretty much locked into the Iraqi Constitution. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Tough Judy Miller being in jail, don't you think?
Well, you know, Bolton and I were talking about it just the other day. And if 2 years ago you'd bet on whether Miller or Chalabi was more likely to be in jail at this point, my money would have been on Ahmad. You know, usually the fans blame the pitcher, not the catcher.
If Fitzgerald can collar Judy... Maybe nobody's safe below, you know, a certain level. Mm-hmm. Maybe nobody can resist the pressure to crack. Maybe nobody can stick to the agreed-upon testimony already given to the grand jury under oath, under penalty of...
Sure, I really don't need to come 3 dozen feet underground to get a lecture on the disadvantages of a perjury conviction. Obviously, my representatives and I crafted some wiggle room into my testimony. Otherwise, I'd have... less leverage than Salman Rushdie in Mecca.
Leverage?
Mm-hmm.
With the prosecutor? Scooter, why would a person want leverage if said person weren't planning at some point to attempt to leverage it?
Look, if everybody's still on the same page, you can rest assured that I'm going to be on the same page, too. Right there with him on that page.
Now, look, if you're talking about the you told Judy Miller who told Karl Rove who told Matt Cooper page, mm-hmm. That's a very good page to be on. That's a page that doesn't mention any constitutional officers. And speaking as someone who took an oath to uphold that constitution, I'd say that's the page that you definitely want to be on.
Well,
and if anybody tried to pressure you to get off that page or to get on some other page...
Sir, straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Working for you, I face more pressure than that every day.
I appreciate that.
But now, on the other hand, if other people in that equation decide to revisit their testimony, or lack thereof, that's obviously when old man Leverage may have to roll up his sleeves and...
Oh, Scooter, spare me the homespun metaphors. I hear enough of them from the bush lad. Here's the deal, and by that I don't mean to imply that there'll be any dealing. Director of Central Intelligence has taken a bullet for us. I don't think you can do any less. Being convicted of a felony hasn't hurt Ollie North's career any. And doing 5 years of soft time may have helped G. Gordon Liddy's later prospects. So,
well, I won't be in as nice a facility as Judy Miller.
You'll be in a fine facility.
There won't be women in it.
We've done harder things, my friend. Don't forget, we brought democracy to the Middle East. That ain't beanbag.
No, I'm
telling you something you already know. You go the other direction. That way lies Paul O'Neill country. Only after it's been nuked. Carl's already signed off on that, and it's just a matter of time before the president is brought into the discussion.
Mr. Vice President, I'm a little taken aback. I don't think in all the time I've worked for you, you've ever come remotely close to threatening me.
No, you're correct. First time I've had to. You can let yourself out of the residence. So Scooter got his knee implants. I had a blood pressure sleeve in my arm. About an hour later, would have shown measurable progress. But amid test, Rich Limbaugh texted me for his talking points. And I stressed right up. End of partial diary for mid-July 2005. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America on the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz shortwave, around the world on the internet, on your computer at two different locations, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, live and archived, now podcast through kcrw.com. Get me up that chart, will you? Available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow and right here at Channel 108 at Sirius Satellite Radio. And it would be just like being able to believe what the general in charge of Baghdad says for more than a week if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. LeShow Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of the LeShow chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. LeShow playlists available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions that originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.